speaks, I think, to a need that exists. We see a whole lot of action to the tune of about 500 and some million dollars in capital projects going on. So capital needs are being met, and perhaps sometimes being met without input of local communities and local areas. One of the things we found when we traveled in rural Alaska, that there were a lot of times of projects would come that people couldn't afford to operate or maintain. Oftentimes the victim of what public health service or somebody else might do for them, rather than their having an ability to have some input into the system. And of course we've seen many communities make direct requests for capital funding through their particular legislators. So Hugh Malone has had some of the concerns, the same concerns. Bill Parker, heading the House CRA, and this has been brought to them, have had the same concerns. And so this is an outgrowth of that particular discussions that have been going on for some time. Margo Waring on my staff and Marjorie Gorsuch on Bill's staff have had an opportunity to have input on this, and so we come to you today with an approach. And I don't know if Margo and Marjorie, would you like to make a little presentation, or do you want me to go over it? Margo, do you want to come on up here and just kind of lay it on you what we're talking about? One of the problems, of course, is that we were only able to really get this developed pretty close to Senator Tillian's deadline. We've had a little bit of problem with just legal, just getting things through no fault of theirs, but they're backed up. So we are here today with a concept for you. I would hope before the end of the day, or the little session here, that you would do me the courtesy of saying, go ahead and introduce the legislation as a committee bill, and then we'll see what happens next week. If Clem's bills are such, we may have to move rather quickly, but ask it back for other work if there's merit to it. So if we could just conceptually go over the bill, not talk to the specific details necessarily of the work draft right now, to get an idea of what we're talking about. Margo, do you want to?
The concept is that the state winds up funding a large variety of capital improvements throughout the state, and that expenditure is not necessarily conducted in any kind of a systematic fashion.
Excuse me, Margo is suffering from the creeping stuff. Could we close the window even though we'll die of heat? I think her voice might carry a little, and I don't want to get her too close to us.
I can't even tell how loud my voice is because my ears are so stuffed. So just tell me to speak.
Yeah, there you're doing
it. Margo, Senator, before you begin, is this something that you want any input from us? If not,
we wouldn't ask for input today. We're just going to present the idea.
We weren't sure what was coming up. So
oh, I see. Go get another fire put out.
Okay.
Great. Thank you very much for coming. Appreciate it. Isn't that nice?
Oh, we had heard grumblings of all different sorts of bills. So that's why.
Okay. Great. Thank you very much.
I'll be leaving too. I'm just going to get a cup of coffee.
Okay.
Get a cup of coffee.
Without there being a systematic approach, it's often very difficult for local governments to plan what projects should be scheduled when, how to phase development. We're all familiar right now with a great concern that many local governments have about using capital improvement programs for certain anti-cyclist functions.
Sure, sure.
And the fact that the state, because of its own processes, takes such a long time to develop those that often they don't have the flexibility to be used anti-cyclically. and that the currently capital improvements are scheduled, which is through budget appropriations and DOT and so forth and so on, it's often unknown when any one will happen, so that maximizing certain kinds of scheduling, for instance, is extremely difficult. It was felt that by placing a lot of those functions on the lowest level possible, that all those problems could be overcome. Funds could be used flexibly and possibly anti-cyclically. Projects could be scheduled, and it would be easier for communities to identify what their needs were. At the same time, it would be possible if the approach were regional to avoid a duplication of capital projects which are not necessary everywhere, in other words, which have only one regional one, hospitals of a certain size, for instance, and that kind of thing. And so the legislation, as we presented it to you, takes those ideas and says that every borough receives a formula share of an allotment, an appropriation. There are two kinds of boroughs foreseen in this legislation. One are organized first and second class boroughs. The other, and unified home rule municipalities, and the other are unorganized boroughs as they've been identified in the committee's substitute for Senate Bill 348. In organized areas, boroughs and unified home rule municipalities, the local assembly develops through whatever their particular process is a capital improvement plan that has public hearings and then is approved by the assembly, and then they get their formula share of the money to spend according to that plan and that prioritization. The funds don't lapse, so funds can either be accumulated for certain scale projects or accumulated for certain economic downturns or whatever. In unorganized boroughs, where there is no government that can do that, what we have structured is a borough-wide advisory group, which is advisory to DOTPF, which is in keeping with the intent of Chapter 168, the State Facilities Plan, but putting it down to the local level, which was the intent of the legislation that has never been fulfilled. That group would prepare the capital improvement program and do the prioritization among the communities and among the projects. And then DOT would expend the funds for those projects just as they do now, because they are the fiscally responsible body.
And would maintain both operational and ownership.
Right. They would hold title to it, because there are not title-bearing groups there. Although, I would suppose that in certain first and second class cities within the unorganized boroughs, it would be possible for those cities to take title. Although I don't think we've addressed that problem, and perhaps we should. Little note to myself, my memory isn't good with this either. the net effect then is that each area of the state receives a formula share, that each, in organized areas, each local assembly or assembly gets to determine how those funds will be spent and to control the expenditure of those funds and then to take title to those capital improvements. And in the unorganized borough, that local people have input and do set priorities and do make determinations within their region, and then that the DOTPF carries out the construction for them. Funds are eligible for both construction and maintenance. As Senator Sturgeon pointed out, very often people find that it's not the construction that's hard to come by, but the maintenance. And the way that systems now work, where construction funds are available, but maintenance funds aren't, there's a subtle encouragement to people to allow buildings to fall into disrepair and then to apply for construction funds. And that is an inefficient expenditure of capital dollars. The way we have foreseen the formula here is that since maintenance and construction come from the same pot, it's to a locality's advantage to practice routine maintenance in order to maximize their construction dollar. And I think that in the long term, that is to the state's advantage.
I think the one other major thing would be the basis of a formula, and we have one that obviously is going to need adjustment and development, but it's based on both population and area. Certainly more needs to be done to know really how specific both organized and unorganized areas would be impacted. It's really illustrative at this point.
We're hoping to get some computer runs on that. They just are not eligible yet. Yeah. Malone's staff, which has worked on the formula part of the concept, has not been able to get them out yet, but we are hoping they will be soon. One other point I would like to make, one that I think also came out at the local government hearings over the summer, was that unorganized areas have a great deal of difficulty often coming up with the local match share that's required of them for certain kinds of federal funds or even state funds. These funds can be used for local match by unorganized areas and organized areas, so that it can provide the leverage to the communities that haven't had it to make even more efficient use of capital dollars.
I suspect that this particular kind of legislation would have been anathema pre-petro dollars, in a sense. But I think we've seen with proposed some $500 million going out in capital projects that we're crossing what have perhaps been more traditional approaches to funding of capital programs. If you'll take a look at those capital projects, you'll see a tremendous diversity in what we're really doing by the approach of the legislature being the sugar daddy, is throwing a burden on many municipalities for operational costs that are kind of only dimly understood, or areas of the state, if you will, on some of these projects that will have to pick it up. And basically, this bill addresses part of that and says that there'll have to be a logical planning process, and that you will extend that to the unorganized areas as well as the organized municipalities. So anyhow, it's here. I'd like to, we need to do staff work on the bill. I'd like to introduce it and have some committee work done on it, but I'd like to respond to your questions. Senator?
Would it be fair to characterize this approach as essentially revenue sharing for capital construction projects?
Yeah, I think that's an astute comment. The thing of it is that it does cross a line that has not been crossed before, and so we fully understand that we're getting to those areas of the that are a resource, or let's say economically deficit in having dollars enough to support government at this time. We're not penalizing them for being there. We're saying that those dollars will be shared both with organized and unorganized areas to a certain limit, depending on, of course, what the funding would be.
And will the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities construct the facility according to normal state construction procedures?
They would within the unorganized boroughs. In the organized boroughs, the expenditure of the funds would be a local government function, and however,
it would actually,
municipality of Anchorage or the borough, the Kenai Peninsula borough,
whatever method they have,
would be the method used. In unorganized areas, it would be.
Would the state have any check on that? The Shotgun Cove situation in Whittier comes to mind. The road, there was a great controversy over whether the money for property expended. Are you familiar with that?
No, I'm not.
About 6 years ago. I guess that ages me on the
None
committee.
Of us were that old.
Nobody was here then. At any point, the question of the proper expenditures of state monies came up in that context. Quite frankly, it's a very desirable device in some ways, because DOT has $301 million worth of unissued obligations presently in their portfolio. The interest rate has gone from 5.5% to 9.5%. We've lost over $80 million in actual construction. And I don't know how much they're going to get out this year, but they won't be getting it all out. That's a very serious question, and raises some
equally serious questions about the fiduciary responsibility of whomever was charged with. There's some bond arbitrage questions in that that are a big question. It's something that the state's fallen down on.
Well, please note the list of eligible facilities there. We're talking about some pretty basic things, libraries, public protection facilities, fire service holding facilities, parks, water, sewer, solid waste, health facilities. You're getting down into things, some of them that have been, you know, been the normal province of municipal governments through the process of some grants, some federal dollars. Many times the local communities bonding themselves. And what you're saying now, that this legislation in the form of it were to pass, that we would say all of the citizens of the state would benefit from this pool of money for those kind of community services, except that in the case where the local governments were not formed, you would be, in fact, the state would be developing and those facilities only after the unorganized area had determined what its priorities were. So there's some major changes from the way we're doing business now that would be accomplished in this bill.
What would you call this, an act of anti-portfolio act?
Well, it's Sturzelewski's response.
Well, Madam Chair, I view the bill as meaningless, frankly, because nobody in the legislature is going to feel bound by anything that's in this bill. If somebody else doesn't think that a road in Eagle River has a high enough priority to get in this particular program, then I'm going to make damn sure that the legislature puts it in. It's not going to work.
Well,
you know, I understand the rationale behind it. You're trying to circumvent the legislative system. We have the power in the legislature to appropriate these capital projects, and I'll be awfully surprised whether you can get a majority of legislators in both houses to give up that power to a bunch of bureaucrats sitting over here in one of these buildings. I'm not going to do it. I'm not prepared to go on.
I really think, Tim, that that's only partially true. The process of the legislature being to act with the dollars that are available, and of course there are many more, is there. It's absolutely true. They have complete power whether to, on an annual basis, to appropriate any dollars at all. This can only become a part of the process, and I could see it certainly as being perhaps a small part, that the legislators do have that right. They have all the right through the appropriation process to do exactly what they've done. But I've also seen that there are a good number of the legislators who are very aware of what the local interests are. You come from Anchorage, Alaska, that has a developed municipality with a capital improvements program and all this process of assigning priorities. And oftentimes those projects that you, as a legislator, come down to push for are projects that the community's already set a priority on. And they can tell you, hey, you know, we've gone through that. It's on our priority list. It's in the capital improvements program. We have many areas of the state where that is not true, where people are, in fact, not able to get into any kind of a process to develop their priorities. I can see it as an assistance to legislators, because a portion of it may come through here, depending on where, you know, how much they want to put into it. But it also would give a process so that a legislator could come down knowing that they were, in fact, developing for that area additional funding that would serve needs out there. Now, maybe I'm being naive on that, but I could see it as a tool to the legislator.
I think you're right. Assuming that local governments, you know, provide input into this, I think it would be a very valuable tool for the legislature to use. And I think you might view it as a reform act to, you know, to reform. And I'm very serious about
it. I don't want to reform the legislature.
I don't. Well, I doubt that this bill will
be honest. It must be honest.
But it might. But it might have a very important impact on the appropriation process by certainly making the voice of local government stronger in determining some of their priorities. And Tim, you're absolutely, you know, you're right. The power is never going to be taken away from the legislature to do as they think proper, and that's what people elect us for. On the other hand, it does, I think, strengthen the voice of a lot of the local governments around the state for their priorities. Again, there'll probably be things beyond this that a legislator may see as a priority. But, of course, it depends on who's in the majority, who's in the minority, who's on the Finance Committee as to how those things shake out on a year-by-year basis. And certainly there never tends to be an even approach year after year. This would have a leavening effect on the ups and downs of organizations and the compositions of committees. So I think in that regard, it could be a very valuable tool, and certainly one we ought to discuss.
Well, it'll also have a levying effect on the amount of dollars put out. According to your own figures, Madam Chair, there are 80,000 people in the unorganized borough, 349,000 people in the organized borough, yet you're going to allocate more money to the unorganized boroughs under your formula than you would to the organized boroughs.
Okay,
and I think four times as many people.
Yeah, I think you should be very aware of the comments that I made, that this is an illustration, and it's not one we need computer work on to find out what the impacts on the municipalities are, and that's certainly subject to change. There are some problems between the tremendous area and, you know, distance and relatively scattered small population in order to meet some of those needs. And, you know, that's obviously one that's going to need a lot of discussion.
Madam Chairman, Senator Stimson had a comment that cut, I think, to the very heart of this matter.
I don't think I want to hear it.
Well, no, I think
I'm not sure I want to say it online.
No, because you're just thinking in terms of Anchorage, if you add up Anchorage and Fairbanks. And
no, let me paraphrase. Yeah. I can. The formula for rural Alaska for Anchorage and the urban areas may be fairer than what we'll receive this year.
Well, I think a significant aspect of this is the fact that what we're really doing is putting the emphasis back in the local area. And I know, you know, as I look at this, it sounds a bit idealistic, but I see a lot of merit in terms of an opportunity for some real participatory democracy at the local level in terms of capital improvement projects. I would see the potential for this eventually meaning that a legislator would come down here with a list of priorities from the people back home that had an opportunity to identify what their concerns are. And a lot more specific direction given to that legislator than I would assume they have right now.
There isn't a fiscal note because it's just working out now, and there's no appropriation bill with it. That's why, you know, the comment, there is a funding mechanism, but if it's not funded, there's nothing. And in order to have it funded at a level, then we'd have to determine what the whole thing with implementation through Department of Transportation, it has to be developed. What would it take to set up these groups that would do the kind of planning and priority setting in the various either REAAs or unorganized boroughs? Those would have to be done. This is, as I say, coming in with a major piece of legislation late in the session, and we have to deal with that problem. And I haven't waited to, we brought it to you as soon as we had something more than a concept. And one of the problems we're going to run into, even though this is going to be a joint introduction by both the Senate and the House Committee on Regional Affairs, is our leader's position that bills, if they really want serious consideration, had jolly well better be out next week. And that's why I'm laying this on you now. We're doing staff work on it. I would like to have that bill read across and then continue to do some staff work, but it may have to move on to finance and then come back to us to work. So there's a whole lot of questions that you have that are not answered.
Madam Chair, when you said there's no fiscal note, there hasn't been one worked up. There's a significant fiscal.
Oh, I'm well aware of that. I meant that we don't have one that I can give you.
You're talking about a major new bureaucratic program with more state employees to administrate the thing. Mm-hmm. We're going to have to pay per diem and travel to every one of these boards out there with their 15 members each. You're talking about a major expense.
Senator, I'm well aware, but there's also a tremendous expense in the way we're doing business now. We're going to have all of those projects built, somebody paying an operational cost, I know not who. It's not that we just kind of create $500 million worth of projects and there are no costs tomorrow. You know, there's a lot of costs there. If we'd put a fiscal note on the implementation and the impact on state government of our $500+ million, I think we would find a fiscal note that would stagger us beyond belief.
Well, my point is, though, that you're going to get additional costs. So what you're doing is establishing a new program, and I assume it's over in Community Regional Affairs Department?
It's in DOT.
You know, we're creating a new program over there with new personnel to run to go around the state and work on local capital improvement projects.
Why do you feel like we'd be talking about a lot of new personnel? I mean, they're carrying out those programs right now. It would seem to me like it's just a matter of we reorganize the priorities.
If they have the personnel and they're carrying out the programs now, then why do we need the legislation?
Because we don't have the communities identifying their priorities.
Of course, yeah. No, they aren't carrying out the program. Now, we have a very serious situation. We talked about spending money. We've already, by default, by non-feasible, spent $40, $50, $60, up to $80 million that we've lost by not selling bonds and not doing things in a timely and proper fashion. It really is. In fact, tomorrow I'll get you a sheet that will delineate.
Well, I understand that. How does this bill address that problem?
It doesn't directly, but the improvements that we're talking about are many of the same kind of improvements, and in some cases would be identical to the improvements that are in the bond issues that haven't been issued. DOT needs to do something with those unissued bonds for a variety of reasons, both economic and public finance reasons. We're losing money every day. At some point, those bonds are going to be unsaleable. And the need for the projects, and they were well considered projects, still remain. I'm very concerned about it.
Margo,
it does address the problem in a direct fashion in this sense that organized local governments, instead of having to wait through the process that Senator Rudy has been describing, will be in charge of those funds themselves. And in that sense, it cuts down on staff in DOTPF. Because local government will be handling it instead of the state handling it. In unorganized areas, which is where DOT handles it anyway, they will continue to. Where I see additional staff possibly being needed, and I talked with DOT a little bit about this, is in the state facilities plan, which is supposed to be a local planning.
Go ahead. There was some action on the floor that has nothing to do with what's going on here.
A local planning effort, but which has not been, they might require a few new additional staff to help the local people in the development of the capital improvement programs for the local areas. But it would not be on a scale that would be monumental in the sense, according to DOT.
Well, I have an immediate problem comes to mind. If the local governments haven't got the competence to prioritize their projects, how the hell are they going to build them?
Oh, they already are in a good number of cases. But it creates, what it does is create a pool of money if we're going to handle out so that they can meet those needs. And that's in addition to what the legislature does. But there are areas.
That we're sending the money directly to the local governments so we avoid the planning process in DOT.
Well, DOT.
And you're saying we're going to let the local governments build the projects?
If you think, for instance, of Juneau, where Juneau has bonds backed up for what Senator Rudy has talked about in DOT, and DOT gets around eventually to selling the bonds and doing the design and so forth and so on, and it takes any number of years. Instead, what would happen would be that Juneau City Borough would get its allocation, its share, which they would then spend the way, we've built lots of things in Juneau using local funds, Eagle Crest and so forth and so on. The city has procedures and processes they follow for giving out contracts for those kinds of projects. And in the same way, they would do it using these funds. And Juneau has a capital improvement program that has identified for the next 10 years the things that it feels the city and borough need. These funds would be used in that same way.
I agree that Juneau can handle the projects. I agree that Anchorage, Kodiak can handle the projects. But what you're saying is that these little communities throughout the state that haven't got the basic competence to to get these projects out of the legislature or to plan these projects properly, you're saying that they can build them.
No, no, we're not. No. DOT would be building.
Well, then we have to hire somebody to build the things, right? Well,
they have them now.
Just a quick second, and I want to get back to that. I think I have a couple of members that have to go. If there's no serious objections, I would like to introduce this as a committee bill and get the questions and all the rest that you need.
You have a lot of my blessing.
Yeah, this, of course, and we'll discuss whether we want to
pass
it out at all or not.
Could you hear Bob McKay before he...
Yes,
you go out the door so he can respond? I just didn't want to...
I don't
want to
hear it.
Well, I wanted to follow through on Tim's line of thought that just like in local government, you know, when we in rural Alaska become a second-class city, we get, on a population base, we get enough money under, say, policemen for maybe $200 or $300 to run police force. And I can visualize this on the Perryville level or the Akiak level or the Carlock level, given us some small, that particular village or community would never be able to put in a capital project. Never, you know, never in anybody's lifetime there. Just like they can never put in a policeman, they can never do anything this. And I think that the legislative process, where it certainly isn't all good, is a heck of a lot better than that, because then I'm accountable to the voters out there saying that, hey, this village gets this project this year, and this village gets another project another year, and they in fact happen instead of, you know, and you know, this kind of philosophy that, because local government is nickel and diming those villages to get death out there right now under, you know, a second class city. And then we carry it a step farther. What are those that aren't even organized, which is aren't even recognized by the state? Mm-hmm.
What this would do is it would say that all those little towns and villages belong to an unorganized borough.
And then we'll set up another layer of government in there.
No, and they're from the elected representative of first and second class cities and a select number of representatives from unorganized communities. They will work together as an advisory group to DOT and say that Perryville should get this year and so-and-so should get that the next year and on and on, and develop a capital improvement program that's prioritized, which they then present to DOT, which is the financially responsible body for them. They let out contracts the way the state has contracts let out, and those things get built.
But that still doesn't mean you can't come down with your project.
Oh, I know that.
Remember what happened, Madam Chair. The governor earlier this session introduced a supplemental capital improvement for $160 million. Mm-hmm. And they were legitimate capital improvement projects throughout the state that had backup on them, almost every one of them ready to go into construction this year. Mm-hmm. Out of the House budget from $160 million he introduced, $30 million is in that House supplemental budget that passed over to us last week. Mm-hmm. Out of $160 million major prioritized projects from the governor's point of view.
Be interesting though to see, Tim, how much of that addressed, let's face it, the unorganized, or you know, what the balance of that was, and if that's where the problem was.
The problem is you've got a bureaucrat telling an elected official what projects go into his area.
Well,
if you want to know that the problem is
with this approach.
Pardon me?
With this approach.
Well, I'm talking about the supplementary budget.
Okay, now,
you've got the department heads out there, DOT.
Determining what the people want.
And they're not responsive to the people at all. Mm-hmm.
And under
we
bill,
are. You know?
Under this bill, you have essentially the same thing. Now, you've got advisory councils down there, but, you know, they report to DOT. Uh-huh. DOT does their little number, and they come to the legislature and say, well, this is, you know, this is the number, this is the way it is. And that's not the way it is as far as I'm concerned. You know, if I'll take the responsibility of assigning priorities. You know, and I'm sure that Nels Anderson, George Holman, Johnny Sackett will do the same thing. They'll take that responsibility. They're not going to listen to DOT on it. I just don't see it working. However, so I don't have to rag this around forever, let me just, you know, state for the record my objection to the introduction of the bill.
Okay, quietly. No, I really do. And
this formula is a problem for me.
Yeah, it's a problem for me. Different way though.
Was 80-30 sound reasonable?
I guess I'm kidding.
Marge, do you have any comments, or Margo, is there a wrap up? Good. Well, we'll be back with a piece of legislation, and you can go. But, you know, it's kind of an interesting thing, and just to look at Kodiak, where some of the smaller communities have had a problem, you know, of getting facilities. We might be in the same situation. Maybe they'll never become a priority list, and you're still going to have to come down here and handle the dog baby and some of the rest of it. They'll always be the same. It'll always be as long as there are dollars.
Well, I see revenue sharing, and I talked to one of the I don't know if they realize it or not, but Oral Freeman is one mm-hmm. of the guys who's right in there. After he left the legislature, went down, became a mayor, and was very instrumental and very involved in the forming of the revenue sharing as we know it now. And there was nobody that formulated that, visiting with Oral, that ever envisioned what was going to happen to it. It tripled local government mm-hmm. on the local level. Local government just took it and created more government instead of taking what the intent was. And I can, you know, instead of, well, DOT getting to be an uncontrollable monster over there in public. I can see our borough and our city hiring planners and designers. And
I think you probably have a capital a program already. You do have, so I don't see you as really having to do anything. Nor do I see the municipality of Anchorage or the Fairbanks North Star Borough or most all of them. What you're doing is that certain of the dollars flow through this as opposed to. You know, direct actions of the legislature with capital. So I don't see that on the local level it would be anything more than an opportunity to plan for that. You know, you're going to be able to afford that to library, maybe with a combination of a local bond issue plus dollars from.
Harless, I don't see it all bad. I just don't see it all good.
Oh no, that's fine. That's fine. We're arguing on a concept. All right. That's it. Thank you. Good ideas often